All this week on Morning Edition, we're examining economic trends in China. Today, we visit a town that has been wildly successful at making buttons. Chances are the buttons on your shirt came from that town. After all, it produces 60% of the world's supply. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports, the story of the button town typifies both China's rise as a manufacturing power and the challenges it now faces.
This is where it all began, on the dusty streets of the small town of Qiaotao. The story goes that 3 decades ago, 3 brothers were walking along the street when suddenly it caught their eye that some buttons had been thrown away and had landed in the gutter. They thought, well, there's some money to be made here, so they picked up the buttons and decided to sell them on. And it was that simple action that launched this town onto its trajectory as the button capital of the world. Machines whirl as they buff buttons. These small plastic discs keep the town's 200 factories in business, supporting around 20,000 migrant workers. The secret to this area's success was its poverty and lack of land. This meant that inhabitants had to depend on trade rather than farming. That's according to Wang Chunqiao, the owner of 2 button factories.
When we started building factories like crazy, it was for our own survival. We had no capital. Everything came from the work of our own 2 hands.
The clink of buttons can be heard all over Qiaotao. This cluster model, with many factories making the same product, is replicated in nearby towns. 3/4 of the world's cigarette lighters come from Wenzhou. 80% of the world's neckties from Shenzhou. Clubbing together gained these towns a foothold in global markets. Low labor costs help them dominate those markets. 25-year-old Huang Changmu earns $120 a month at Mr. Wang's button factory. He's happy with that, so he stayed here for 4 years. But many workers are now starting to look beyond unskilled jobs, and a labor shortage is emerging. For bosses like Wang Chunqiao, that means offering extra enticements.
Now workers are demanding more. They want food, accommodation, and cultural activities on top of their salaries. We're planning to build a library and sports facilities.
Despite their success, his factories are facing other difficulties too. Mr. Wang complains that profit margins are too low on such a low-tech product. So he's diversifying into lace borders. And last year, the cost of commodities worldwide soared, in part because of demand from China. The effect was to double the price of each copper button produced by the factory. Not good when metal buttons were all the rage. Global trends dictate the factory's products. And sales executive Lili sums up the latest look.
This year, the materials we're using are more environmentally friendly. Buttons made out of shells or coconut or wood are very popular.
These fashions are formed far away, on Italian catwalks or even perhaps on the streets of Iran. That's where buyer Asham Bastu and his partners sell most of their buttons. As they browse through huge books of buttons, Asham Bastu explains how China shaped his buying patterns.
I think 96 at that time was buying buttons, most of the buttons coming from Italy. So now even cannot buy one piece of the button from Italy. Because the price, you know, like guess maybe 10 times, maybe more, maybe 15 to 20 times different. And the quality, I think not that much different, really.
And when your life is in buttons, it seems you start to get philosophical about them. Asham Bastu has even come up with his own button theory of political freedom. The more closed a society, the better buttons sell there. More open societies, he says, favor zippers and Velcro fastenings. But buttons sell particularly well in places where women wear the chador, a full-length black robe that buttons up the front.
But Iran is still not... The woman cannot come out free, no? So it's still closed, so they have to use the button. So a lot of buttons still can sell in Iran.
Buttons are my destiny, says factory owner Wang. And his rags-to-riches story is China's story. His hard work, eye for opportunities, and determination to seek out new markets played their tiny part in transforming his town and his country into a manufacturing powerhouse. But now, Qiaotou's button manufacturers are victims of their own success. Their global domination means there's no place left to go. And now they're cannibalizing each other at cutthroat prices. In these days of plenty, buttons lie scattered across the town streets. So cheap, they're practically worthless. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Qiaotou.
Our series continues tomorrow when we examine violations of intellectual property rights, bluntly put, fake products.
All the fake goods, Gucci, Prada, they have everything.
And how much cheaper are they here than you would be paying in the U.S.?
Hundreds of dollars. Thousands.